Hey there, and welcome to the Open House Podcast, where women talk real estate. Did you know Christina and I co-founded our educational company and brokerage 4 years ago? Since then, our team has been helping people buy and sell homes creatively in Austin, Texas every day. If you're thinking about buying a house in 2024, now's the perfect time to chat with one of our realtors. Just visit openhouseaustin.com to get started. All right, let's jump into today's episode. Welcome to the Open House Podcast, where women talk real estate. I'm Steph Douglas, and I'm here with our expert agents, Jen and Sid. We are missing two of our agents, but just due to scheduling issues. But Jen and Sid know so much about the topic we're talking about today, so I'm excited to get into it with them. We're really wanting to dive in and keep everyone up to date on this NAR settlement. And so we want to first get into like what it is, why we're even talking about it, and like if you have never heard of this, like kind of give you some background. Jen, do you want to talk about what NAR is and what's happening?
Yeah, so NAR stands for the National Association of Realtors. If you are an agent and you have the realtor designation, then you are a member of this group. You may also be a member of a state-associated association and a local association. But essentially, they help realtors, agents, you know, navigate ethics and rules about how to do our jobs well and represent our clients well.
So yeah, perfect. That's what NAR is. Like all of us agents have a lot of knowledge of NAR. There's not really a reason for clients to know about them until recently when they were sued by a group of sellers that felt like they were wronged in the process. And so this is a settlement that has been made. And honestly, we're talking about this a little bit prematurely, like nothing is set in stone yet, and nothing has even gone into effect. So this is all like potential, but we just wanted to make sure that everyone knew that we were on top of it and that we want to make sure that you're in the know as well. So what about this lawsuit and what's happening now that's relevant and why we're talking about this, Sid? Do you want to talk through it?
Yeah. Essentially, there's been a lot of headlines in like mainstream news outlets talking about this settlement. And, you know, we've been questioned by current clients, past clients, clients' moms, you know, like it's something that we're seeing a lot in the news. And essentially, I think what it is causing is confusion and people just thinking initially like, oh, sellers might not have to pay a buyer's realtor when a buyer comes to purchase their house. I would say that's the main question that we're getting right now.
Right. And if you aren't aware, that has been sort of the norm in the past that buyer's agents are not typically compensated by the buyer. When you go to purchase a home, the seller has negotiated with their broker to pay a fee to their agent as well as the agent that brings the buyer that ultimately closes on the home.
Yeah. So traditionally it's been 6%, 3% for the seller's agent, 3% for the buyer's agent. And that's just like how it's been. And
it's always been negotiable too.
Right.
But
right.
That has been generally what people can expect.
Yes. Yeah. And that amount is advertised currently on the MLS, the multiple listing services, as, okay, we're going to pay as a listing agent. We write that we're going to pay the buyer's agent X amount. We've done deals where most of our deals are 3%, mm-hmm. but sometimes it says 1.5, sometimes it says 2. So that it's not a set in stone.
Sometimes it's 4.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Even builders right. are paying these buyer's agents as well.
Right. So this lawsuit basically was like, why should sellers be paying this fee, you know, out of their proceeds? They didn't get to choose the agent that represents the buyers. That's like a big piece of this. So the settlement means that there's a small change in how this is advertised. What Sid was saying is it's producing a lot of confusion when it's not that large of a change. Actually, we do think there will be a shift in like how things are done. Do we think there will be a big shift in price point, which is like a lot of what the headlines are saying? What do y'all think?
Yeah. And really quick, just to touch on like how things are done, like a lot of it I think is going to be documentation and just how we're going to be finding out what a seller is paying and then also communicating that very clearly to our buyers up front so there's no surprises. I think when it comes to how is this going to affect prices or what a seller is going to contribute maybe to buyers' closing costs, I think that currently, right now, I mean, in Austin, our average days on market, It's around 65 days. People typically want to sell as fast as they can. And so with that being said, right now, you know, even running through comps and looking at this data, I mean, right now, business is as usual. Sellers are, for the most part, contributing around 3% to a buyer's agent. And then even sometimes on top of that, they're wanting to have a competitive edge and offering to pay closing costs. Yeah. So buyers can do a temporary buy down for their interest rate, things like that. So I think I would say no for now. And also we can touch on the inventory. Like, we are still seeing less inventory than we want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. And traditionally, the reason that it was sort of set up this way, and the reason that sellers are able to pay their agent and the buyer's agent and contribute towards closing costs, is because they have equity in their home. So all of these fees are coming at the closing table, and they're not paid ahead of time. They're paid when the house closes, it transfers ownership, when the seller's mortgage is paid off, and the proceeds are transferred to them. So all of that is taken out at that time. And generally, if you've been in your home 5, 10, sometimes 20 or 40 years, you have, you know, tens to hundreds of thousands of dollars in equity in your home. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of like that money isn't being paid out of your bank account, right? It's being paid out of the equity that you've been building over the time that you've lived in the home. And it's sort of always been calculated in as the cost to sell.
Right. And this, the way that things are right now, meaning the sellers pay this both agents, came out of necessity. Whereas in the early days of real estate, there were only listing agents. And then it became a necessity that buyers needed to be represented as well. And so the sellers were willing to pay the buyer's agents.
Due to lawsuits.
Yeah, due to lawsuits.
Yeah, buyers, yeah. Beware.
Buyer, exactly. And so buyers were getting screwed because they were being represented by the seller's agent, the seller's agent who has the seller's interest at heart. Having someone represent you as a buyer is so incredibly important. Someone who knows the market, who knows what is the norm on that day, in that time of buying real estate. Someone who can speak on your behalf and to make sure that you are getting the best deal possible for the largest purchase of your life. This became a norm that the seller paid the buyer's agent because the buyer's agent was bringing them through, doing all the work on that end. So it's funny that this is kind of coming up, but because it was a necessity, I do believe it will stay a necessity. And we think that for the most part, it won't really change that much, and it will just be a difference in documentation and transparency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the other sort of piece to the settlement is that buyer's agents are required to have their clients sign a buyer representation agreement. If you have never gone to buy a house before, you probably will have never seen this, but it has always been a part of our company's rules and our methodology that we have this conversation and present this document to our buyers before they offer on a home. And it clearly dictates what our fiduciary duties are to our client, and that we represent them and their interests and not the sellers.
Right.
So that won't be a change necessarily for us, but could definitely be a change for other agents, other brokerages out there that haven't been, you know, utilizing this piece.
Right. And a lot of agents who don't provide as many services as we do and don't have the experience that we do. And so really, I mean, this is kind of a sidebar. We didn't talk about this beforehand, but I do think that we'll see a lot of agents exiting the market because they're mm-hmm. part-time. They don't have the system set up that we have. It might shift to just like the highest quality of buyer's agents are able to survive. And that is totally fine for us.
Right. It's what value they're bringing to the table.
Right.
Right? And right. That even goes, I think, in hand with, we have clients often who maybe want to buy the home that they're renting in, mm-hmm. or they want to buy it's a bit more rare now, but a for sale by owner home. And a lot of people think, this is the biggest purchase of my life. I want to hire a realtor to represent me. They typically have never seen these contracts before, you know, and it's very complicated, just like you would hire an accountant, an attorney, anything else like that.
Honestly, a consultant.
Yeah.
Right? There's consultancy is a huge business because you want expertise advice on something that you don't know very much about. Mm-hmm. And not knowing about the ins and outs of the real estate world and process is the norm. Like, why should your average person know that much about it? They're not doing it every day. We are, you know? Mm-hmm. So it does make sense to have that. And I like that you said that. They're not they're not needing help opening doors, the people that are buying their rental. They're needing help with, like, everything else, the negotiating, the contingencies, the legalities. There's a huge, like, complicated, process behind this.
Mm-hmm. I think about how many inspection reports we've seen and negotiated through. Right. Like, just thinking about all the systems of the house and how much these things could cost to repair, and then us going to the seller to ask for, I mean, sometimes 20K plus.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a tangent, but
it's very similar to the reason that we suggest and always recommend hiring an inspector, right? You don't know what you don't know. You're not an expert necessarily, unless, you know, you happen to be a general contractor or something.
Yeah.
But you know, you need someone there to tell you what you need to know, what you don't know, and use that information in the best way possible. And so not only are we negotiating those, you know, price or credits based on the inspection, but based on everything else that we have knowledge about, which is the market.
Right, right. It's usually when you're hiring a consultant, it's because you're paying that money to then get even more money in return, or to save that amount of money or more. Mm-hmm. And it does...
Or to make a better investment.
Or to make a better investment to then get a higher return on investment, and or to save yourself a headache in the future. And so these fees aren't just like arbitrary for people for realtors to let you into homes. It's definitely more than that. And in fact, that part of it, letting people into homes and finding listings, is like so small a part of our job these days because the internet exists and remote locks exist. You know, like that's not a huge part of it, but it's more about the presence of your knowledge and like walking through a house with someone who has the expertise and walking through houses every single day in the city. Mm-hmm. So, Charles, guard dog. Yes. Okay. So what else do we want to kind of convey in this? Like really the biggest piece of this that like sticks out to me is that it's causing confusion to all parties, mm-hmm. to brokers, to agents, to consumers, sellers. It's just a huge mess of headlines making people think one thing when really it's something different. What else do we want to touch on?
I think along with that, listeners, you know, I'm sure that after this you're going to do a Google search and a deep dive and think that you understand it, but just know that talking to a realtor in your area, or us if you're in Austin, that we are happy to have this conversation and explain, at least as far as we know, what's going on. Again, none of these changes are set to effect until July. There's still the possibility of appeals.
Yeah.
And a lot of this will just depend on how our market adapts to it. And all realtors in our area will have to navigate that as that comes.
Yeah. Another thing I wanted to sort of, I mean, we said this a little bit, but for the most part, sellers want a fair deal and they want buyers coming through the door. So not offering to pay someone to represent the buyer is limiting their market share, essentially. It's limiting like who's going to see the house. The more people that see the house, the higher price they're going to get. So it does make sense for sellers to continue to offer this fee. Mm-hmm. And we think that for the most part, sellers will.
Yeah. I just had this conversation too. 2 days ago with sellers who are about to list in around a week. And of course they see, you know, they saw the headlines, they're educated, and you know, they asked like, what do you think? Like, we're open to feedback. And I said, well, let's look at what's on the market right now. And also like what they're offering for commissions to a buyer's agent. And you know, we look and they're all offering 3% currently. And so they want to sell quick. They want to be competitive. And so, sure, in theory, could they not offer, you know, that 3% commission to a buyer's agent? Sure, they could, but they want to be competitive. And they said, okay, you know, let's do it. That makes sense. Similar to how builders are still offering commissions to buyer's agents because they want, you know, all these buyer's agents, they're taking time. They're not only showing the home, they're running market analysis on how it's priced. They're, you know, doing a lot of work to essentially help their buyer go from inside the door to at the closing table.
Right.
And so currently now sellers, you know, that we're working with still want to offer.
Yeah. And not every agency will obviously be like this, but for our case, you know, those fees go towards producing this podcast.
Yeah.
Along with the blogs, the newsletters, the content that we are constantly putting out, really educating y'all on how to buy a home in the creative way, in a smart way, in a way that gives you the most opportunity later on. And so for us to be able to continue to create that content and get that information out to you, we really rely on this.
Yeah, it's a job. You know, we're spending
over.
Yeah, like that's what it's. And I think that before, potentially buyer's agents were advertising like, this is free. And I'm sure we've said that to people because it was covered by the seller traditionally. Yeah. But like, if we're being really honest and transparent, which is a huge value of ours, like that fee comes around at the end of your seller's journey when you're selling that you would then have to pay. So it's really not free, because working for free doesn't work. So it does make sense for buyer's agents to be paid. And for people to really get this, I think there's a lot of resentment in this industry of like, well, they don't do anything. They're just like looking pretty. And that's definitely not what we do. It's not that we do that.
Pretty.
We do that. But, but I think that like with everything that we do specifically, like our brokerage, it's so much more than that. So it's like all of this confusion is real, but it does come with the understanding that like, we're doing a job here. We're consultants, and we want to make sure that you get the best deal, that your sellers are getting the best deal. Like, everybody involved has a fair transaction. And I think it's easy for people to be like, we have the internet. Just like click buy on Amazon and you buy a house. Mm-hmm. And like, it's so different from that.
How many times have you returned things on Amazon that didn't come what you expected?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So like this process, like every time someone has said like, well, your job's going to become obsolete, I guarantee you it isn't, because we work with these buyers every day. This is more than just like buy, sell. It's a mindset shift. It's a coaching. It's therapy. Like all of these things to help these buyers get in the mindset of like, this is a huge investment and I want to make sure I'm doing the best I can.
Yeah. And I will say too, like, we have worked with buyers over the years where these situations come up where maybe the seller is not offering, you know, a standard quote unquote fee. And I will tell you that, again, buyers do want to be represented, and we have had buyers pay out of their closing cost for a realtor as well. So like, it's not going to be, you know, every transaction looks the exact same. We really are anticipating what a lot of this is going to look like. And we're like really keeping a pulse on what's happening in the Austin market, what's happening nationally, and then what's happening, you know, with our clients specifically. Yeah. So
I agree. I think it might come to the fact that buyers are covering a portion of this or all of it. And we still think that that is fair because of the money we're saving you, the negotiations happening behind the scenes. Sid mentioned $20,000 in repairs is not uncommon. And that's because we're advising on what is possible and like what needs to happen in this transaction. And so we believe that even if you, as the buyer, have to pay this fee, you will get that money back in spades.
Mm-hmm. And again, us specifically, you're our clients for life when you close with us. So there are continued services and events and advice that we provide even after we've gone past the closing table and our fee has been paid. We continue to work for you. So we're working before and after.
Yes.
And we do that for hundreds of our past clients. Yeah.
Hundreds, literally. Man, that was better than I thought it was going to be.
Should we say like, we'll continue to update you?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we'll... that was it. Yeah, no.
Talk to you on the next one.
We will keep you up to date on this for sure. We're talking about this every week. I mean, more than every week. We're in Slack talking about it constantly, staying up to date. And like, this is a huge deal in our industry. And we are not worried. We do think... We're worried about the confusion it's causing. But like, ideally, this is all figured out. And come July, we have our systems in place for this to like not cause a huge thing, you know?
And just know like it could look different in every market. So stay up to date with what's going on in your city. We will definitely be keeping our clients apprised of what's, you know, how our particular market takes into effect, but just good to know the facts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome.
Amazing. Good job. I'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.